Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. This is your hometown radio station right there in Madison and North Florida, and we welcome you to this broadcast today. If you're listening by computer, we welcome you anywhere in the United States, anywhere on planet Earth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And if you're listening because you have downloaded this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus from our website, we welcome you as well today. We want to gather around the Word of God, and we want to hear and give heed to what, as the Scriptures declare, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, I'm going to read from Scripture, comment on Scripture, but only the Holy Spirit can take that word and place it in the human heart. God can do that. We're not just going to appeal to the mind today, but also to the heart. God's Word touches deeper than just our mental faculties. It can get down on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And when it finds a good ground heart, the Bible said the Word itself, as seed, brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the glory and the honor of our holy God. Praise the Lord. We're glad to be with you. As I said before, we're glad if you are a return listener, we welcome you. If you're a first-time listener, you have a very special welcome to gather with us today. Amen. And if you're not a Christian, if you haven't received Christ as your personal Savior, we would ask you to be our very special guest today. We want you to hear from the Word of God about a God of great love, great power, great kindness, great strength to deliver and set free today. He loves you, friend. Make no doubt about it. He loves you with an everlasting love, the Scripture declares. So let's talk about him today from the Scripture. Amen. We're going to be talking about a new subject this week, pulling down strongholds. Let God arise, pulling down strongholds. And the reason for this title is that we might utilize spiritual weaponry to achieve supernatural victories. We're going to take our text from the Old Testament, Psalm 68, verse 1 and 2. It simply says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him." Many scholars of Scripture believe that Psalm 68 was composed by David at the time when the Ark of the Covenant was to be moved from the house of Obed-Edom to Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The first two verses were recited when the Ark is uplifted and the process begins to move. And then the second verse is recited as smoke is driven away, as wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. Anyone here can clearly see in the words of this special psalm that God's promised blessings can only be obtained when his enemies are defeated. There will always be strongholds of opposition that must be pulled down. But that's okay when the battle is not ours alone, but the Lord's. Now I want to just quote real quickly a scripture from the New Testament. The Bible said, "Though that we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ." Praise God. We're just physical human beings, and we can't fight spiritual forces with our own weaponry. We're real good at doing church. We're real good at preaching. We're real good at teaching. We're good at singing and composing and presenting programs. But this goes beyond all of those good things that we do. We must enter into an arena of spiritual battle in order to pull down strongholds. They do not fall by themselves. There will always, I want to say that again, there will always be strongholds of opposition that must be pulled down. But that's okay when the battle is not ours alone, but the Lord's. This scripture goes on to say in verse 18, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, for the rebellious, and that the Lord might dwell among them. Sound familiar? It should, because Paul the Apostle quoted this verse to declare Christ's victory over Satan's stronghold. His stronghold that held all men in spiritual bondage because of sin. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 9 says, But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Praise God. When Jesus conquered the devil's stronghold, he threw open those gates that held us captive, that we might come to Christ and be delivered. Come to Jesus and have our sins forgiven, that Satan have no right to hold us any longer. A stronghold was pulled down at Calvary. A mighty enemy was conquered by an almighty God. Jesus has vanquished our greatest enemy. The victory is already won. It is ours to demonstrate and ours to celebrate. I like the amplified version of that verse. He led a train of vanquished foes. And Matthew Henry further comments, He conquered those who had conquered us, Satan, sin, and death. Praise God. I'm so glad that victory is already accomplished in and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at a place where it looked like it was the place of greatest defeat, the cross. Hallelujah. The cross of Christ initially seemed to be a place of terrible defeat. But because of what God had planned and purposed, it became a place of unparalleled victory. For it was at the cross where Satan, God's enemy and ours, suffered that deadly wound. Colossians 2 and verse 15 is very clear about this. It said, And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, literally in the cross. No wonder the enemy hates songs that proclaim what the blood of Christ has accomplished. You know, there are religious organizations today, I really hesitate to call them churches, that just don't want any songs about the blood of Christ. And yet the Bible said in Revelation chapter 12 that now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Amen. Who are these people coming in the book of Revelation from every kindred, tongue, and nation? And have washed their robes, the Bible said. These are those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. One leader of a major church organization says, We don't need a bloody gospel. And yet I would say today that without the blood of Jesus Christ, we have no gospel. Because without the blood, the shedding of blood, the Scriptures declare, there is no sacrifice for our sin. But when God sees the blood, He said, I will pass over you. And friend of mine, when your sins are washed in the blood of the Lamb, when you apply that blood sacrifice and all that it has accomplished in our behalf to your heart and your life by faith in Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell you right now, the enemy has no grounds to hold you any longer. Praise the Lord. I like the New International. It said he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Hallelujah. Hell has been plundered. The keepers of the prison have been defeated. Hallelujah. Satan has been rendered powerless to hold or harm those that trust Christ as their Savior. Hebrews 2:14-15 says, "For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." We as Christians know that death has been defeated, our sins are forgiven. Christ on the cross is the symbol of our freedom. And Christ raised from the dead validates the fact that his blood sacrifice sprinkled that mercy seat in heaven. God accepted it. Praise the Lord. When God arises and his enemies are scattered, our victory is absolutely assured. Satan can no longer hold us prisoner to the tormenting fear of death. When Christ took our sins upon himself, he paid our sin debt, and Satan cannot hold us prisoner to sin's consequence. Glory be to God. I don't know what kind of shoes you're wearing right now, but you might want to change them and put on some shouting shoes. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:50-53. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Praise God. Friend of mine, I want you to know, when death was defeated by Jesus Christ in our behalf at the cross, confirmed by the resurrection, praise the Lord, every Christian came in to that great victory. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Arise in the Hebrew means rise up, stand up. To rise in the hostile sense, to come on the scene. It literally means to stand up, in one translation, with a sword in hand, to come on the scene ready to do battle. This is a military, militant stance, to take action against an enemy. God always fought for, protected Israel when they were right with him. And God will fight for and protect you and I when we are right with him. and getting right with Him is not hard to do. Amen. You repent of your sins and come and receive Christ as your Savior, and God becomes your Heavenly Father. And He receives you as one of His dear children. He told ancient Israel, I'll keep you as the apple of mine eye. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The story of victory over Jericho in the Old Testament is a beautiful example of God arising to lead Israel in the pulling down of a great walled city, literally a stronghold. It begins with God arising in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13. I want to read that today. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell down on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you realize what captain of the Lord's host? That means the commander in chief of heaven's armies. It is widely believed that this was not an angelic appearance. This captain of the Lord's host is the same one that leads the armies of heaven in the book of Revelation when he comes to set up his kingdom upon this earth to vanquish his foes. Hallelujah. This is none other than the Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. His steps did not begin at Bethlehem, and they did not end at Calvary. Amen. Praise God. Before Moses was, Jesus said, I am. Praise the Lord. Notice that in this story, the defeat of Jericho starts with this strange meeting near the city. Joshua meets a man with a drawn sword, and not knowing his identity, he asks whose side he's on. And we might expect him to say the side of Israel, but the response is he's on neither side. Such a strange response when Joshua meets the commander of the army, of the armies of the Lord. And this commander has come to establish the kingdom of God. Here Joshua is reminded that in this conquest is the Lord's battle. It is not Israel's battle. The conquest of Jericho will be the Lord's conquest and the Lord's kingdom, not Israel's kingdom alone. God is not there to serve Israel in battle. Israel is there to serve God in battle. And Israel will participate in God's victory only to the degree that they follow God's plans and obey His commands. And so before this battle, Joshua had to take off his sandals and meet with God and receive instructions that were to be followed in every detail. And so too that we will find in battling spiritual strongholds in the power of God requires we start by meeting with God. We may have victory in Christ, but we will only be victorious in battles against strongholds if we fight by God's plans and God's strategy. You know, the scripture said, and this may shock some people that kind of think you know it all. Amen. Listen carefully. We do not always know how to pray. Amen. We don't always know God's answers, God's strategies. We must go to Him in prayer, but we must wait before Him for His plans to be received into our heart. We need to recognize that the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Look what David declared to Goliath before engaging in battle in 1 Samuel 17 in verse 46 through 48. Listen carefully. This day Will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand? And I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thee the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that I am a great spiritual warrior. Know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistines. You know the rest of the story. Praise God. The victory came because God came onto that battlefield and preceded David in that battle. Praise God. Verse 47 is the basis for David's boldness in battle. He said the battle is the Lord's. It is unconventional warfare. He saveth not with sword and spear. This is supernatural weaponry, spiritual victory, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. David fought for the glory of God and the good of Israel. In that order, his victory would be a collective victory, a national victory. He will give you into our hands. David was no loose cannon trying to use God's anointing for his own personal advantage and advancement. God is not there to serve David. David is there to serve God. I want to say that again. God is not there to serve David. David is there to serve God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Friend of mine, I don't know about you, but I want to see victory in my life so that all of the gainsayers may know that our God is the true and living God. Jesus is the Son of God, and His blood has paid the ultimate price for sin. And man, woman, boy, and girl today can be saved, because when we apply that blood to the doorpost of our heart, God arises and our enemy is scattered. True spiritual warfare is when we serve God in battle. The battle is the Lord's. He goes before us. There's no retreat or defeat when the battle is the Lord's. Let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered is the war cry of the spiritual soldier. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered is a proclamation to our enemies that Yahweh is for us. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered is an exclamation that our strength in battle is from the Lord. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered is a declaration that victory is already ours in and through Jesus Christ. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered is a bold confession of faith in His faithfulness and power. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered is an affirmation that our God is a living presence with us. Friend, let God arise is an ancient term, but that didn't start with David. It originated with Moses during the wilderness journey of Israel. Let God arise means God is leading and we are following Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just want to declare here at this juncture, today as we move toward the closing of this particular part of this teaching, that our victory is contingent upon our God coming on to the field of battle. And when He takes up the fight, then we're not trying to see if we can defeat the enemy. We're not trying to see if we can overcome. We're not contending with strongholds to see if we might be able to take them. We declare and shout victory before the walls even fall like Jericho. Because when God determines to grant that victory, He takes up the fight, and the battle is no longer ours. The battle is the Lord's. No wonder the joy when they picked up that ark, they quoted Psalm 68 and said, "Let God arise and His enemies be scattered." You know, the Bible said that the reason men and women are not saved, the reason you and I were not saved before we got saved, is because the God of this world has blinded the minds of men lest they would see the glory in the gospel and be saved. And what we come to do in prayer and intercession for the lost and for loved ones that don't know Christ and people that are listening to this broadcast or this teaching right now, there are strongholds that must come down in order for anyone to see in their spirit man the truth of eternal things and spiritual things. Friend, there is a very real heaven, and there's a very real place of torment and banishment and punishment. Friend, there is a real God who loves you. There's a real enemy who hates your soul and wants it destroyed with his own. Some consolation that he might have of facing what he's going to face for eternity. He wants to take as many of the objects of God's love, and that's everyone on this planet. He wants to take as many of the objects of God's love with him. But today, He sent a Savior. God has risen up in your behalf if you don't know Jesus. He sent His Son to die for the sins of this fallen world, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have eternal life. That can be you today. You say, "Pastor, I've got habits, I've got sins you know nothing of." I'm telling you, if you receive Christ today as your Savior, don't try to save yourself to make yourself worthy of salvation. You've got to come just like you are. I love that invitation song, heard so many times in the Billy Graham Crusades, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. O Lamb of God, I come." Come today. Come to the foot of the cross. I tell you, every chain will break. Every prison house, those bars will be cast asunder, that you might walk out of your prison and go free. We have prayed and interceded that the gospel would find its mark in the heart, and that strongholds would fall in order for men and women, boys and girls, to be set free. And I believe that God is stepping out on the battlefield, praise God, to open the eyes of the spiritual blind, that you might see the glory of the gospel, and that you might be saved today. If you're a Christian today, amen, if you're a Christian today, and you seem to be facing insurmountable obstacles in your life, mountains that defy you and say you can never, ever have the promises of God in your life, I'm telling you, these walled cities, these great giants of opposition, these mountains of circumstance, just let God arise. Let God arise, and His enemies will be scattered. And when His enemies are scattered, our enemies are defeated. Rise up in faith today and call upon the name of the Lord. And if you don't know Him, ask Him into your heart and watch that stronghold fall. Oh, we love you, friend. Our time is gone. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.
peace be scattered, and let the righteous be blessed.